All right. Our fifth case for this morning is Jose Ortiz Estrada against Eric Holder, Attorney General. Ms. Bennett.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Jennifer Bennett, and I represent Mr. Jose Luis Ortiz Estrada. Mr. Estrada is a 38-year-old male and native of citizen of Mexico. He entered the United States on or about May 5th of 1996. He was issued a notice to appear in deportation proceedings on August 2nd of 2010, charged with removability under Section INA 212A6AI. That's little I, for being present without being admitted or paroled into the United States. He appeared before Immigration Judge Cuevas here in Chicago, Illinois, in Immigration Court for several master calendar hearings, the first on April 19th, at which time he admitted to the charges in the notice to appear and conceded to removability. He then appeared again on May 17th, June 30th, October 28th, October 31st, and December 9th, before appearing for what he thought was a master calendar hearing on February 17th, 2012, and Judge Cuevas proceeded as an individual hearing on that date.
Right. So I actually have one factual question for you.
Sure.
As this is all unfolding, there's a pending DUI charge, but then he pleads guilty to something, as Cook County records seem to indicate. So whatever happened to the pending DUI charge?
That's correct, Your Honor. He was not charged. He was not sentenced to any jail time. He received 18 months probation.
But he did plead guilty to it.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So, you know, the government argues that there are jurisdictional problems here. They say that really you're just asking us to reweigh evidence, which doesn't amount to a question of law under subpart capital D, and that's normally what we hold.
Correct. We understand that, Your Honor. We understand that the court cannot revisit factual findings, and there's no due process right in a discretionary finding, and the right to request a continuance, whether there's good cause, is a discretionary finding, as is the determination of good moral character for non-lawful permanent resident cancellation.
Right,
however,
and the board finds that he lacks good moral character.
However, what we're challenging, Your Honor, is that there was a legal error, that the incorrect legal standard was applied in his case. So under Section 8 CFR 1003.29, an immigration judge does have discretion to grant the continuance if good cause is shown, and the decision will be upheld unless the decision is made without a rational explanation.
But the thing is, I mean, we fight back and forth about continuances. We don't review continuance motions if they are kind of de facto the merits of the underlying claim. That's the Calma holding as well as other cases. And I really am having trouble, other than the one point that you mentioned in passing, that Mr. Ortiz Estrada shows up at the hearing thinking that all he's going to do is make his case for another continuance, and all of a sudden the immigration judge says, oh, actually, this is the main event. You know, we're going to just decide. And I don't know whether he objected to that or whether that's the sort of thing that a petition for reconsideration would be appropriate for. I don't know. But other than that, I have trouble seeing this as anything but a factual dispute that lies within the discretion of the agency.
Well, Your Honor, we would argue that, as I said, there was not a rational explanation for the decision. And if the judge and the board in upholding the judge's decision had provided a rational explanation, then it would not be reviewable.
Isn't it obvious? I mean, he's continued and continued and continued. There are all these DUI charges floating around. And the judge, you know, there is no rule that says that immigration judges have to give continuances forever. That happens in work cases. It happens in good moral character cases. It happens in different circumstances.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. However, I think the government made it appear as if he had quite a lengthy record, when in fact there were only two DUIs from the past, and then there was actually a 10-year gap in time before the present one. And as I indicated, he was not sentenced to any jail time for that particular DUI.
But we don't. I mean, if there's an agency finding, forget about the continuance. If there's an agency finding that says, we, the Board of Immigration Appeals, conclude that Mr. X lacks good moral character, and so we're not going to exercise our discretion to cancel removal or whatever the relief may be, that's not reviewable.
That's not reviewable if a good moral character determination is made. However, in this case, what we challenge is the fact that he didn't even allow a proper analysis of that determination. Instead, he led the respondent to believe that he just needed to check in and keep tabs and maintain the status quo pending the outcome of his DUI.
That's troublesome. I understand.
Yeah, if the judge had not indicated that in this case, then we may not have a grounds to be here. But in this case, the judge led him to believe that, and then when he issued the decision, there was not a rational explanation for why there was this change.
Did you argue to the Board of Immigration Appeals that the hearing assured to you in the regulations was denied because of this shift in focus?
I believe that we did argue that, Your Honor. Yeah. So as I said, we believe that the respondent appeared faithfully at all status hearings. He maintained the status quo. In fact, he's underwent substantial rehabilitation and treatment efforts since his DUI. He's engaged in the church and his children's lives. In fact, we submitted quite a substantial request for prosecutorial discretion to the government just a few days ago, documenting that. And so we think that, the lack of the rational explanation really denied his right to a full and fair opportunity to be heard and to really look at whether or not good moral character existed. So we're not actually challenging the determination that good moral character existed. We're challenging the way that the judge went about it, the legal procedure, and the insufficiency in the proceedings. Additionally, per the board's case, Hashimi, even though we understand the Seventh Circuit takes precedent over that, most of the decisions look to Hashimi and require the judge to weigh relevant factors to determine if there's good cause. And again, in our case, the judge's decision as well as the board's decision were a mere, I think, 2 pages each, not taking into consideration any additional factors aside from the judge's sudden, unpredictable decision to deny because he was tired of waiting for this to continue. And along the same lines, I know the government pointed out cases such as Murtowski, Kama, Palawashka, which have all been before this court. But we argue that our case is different from those because in those cases there was a clear-cut reason to determine the person lacked good moral character or that they would be denied any pending immigration benefit. So their attempts to ask for continuances were futile in the case. For example, in in Murtowski, there was a false claim of U.S. citizenship. And the regulations are very clear that you're going to be denied immigration benefits if you have a false claim of U.S. citizenship in your history. Our case is quite different because it's not defined by statute.
Wait, just to summarize, what is the error in when the Board of Immigration Appeals referred to the fact that the administrative law judge had found all these offenses, number of them for drunk driving and so on? Why doesn't that resolve the moral character issue? I don't get it. What is missing?
Your Honor, I think for 2 reasons that doesn't resolve the moral character issue. For one, because the board merely supplemented the decision of the immigration judge. So we're really looking...
Did what?
Merely supplemented the...
What do you mean by supplemented?
There was no new or additional analysis in the board's decision.
What?
There was no new or additional...
There doesn't have to be anything new. The board is just agreeing. No, petitioner, I'm looking at the immigration judge's opinion. Petitioner had a series of convictions for traffic offenses, 4 for drunk driving, etc., etc., 3 for driving after his license had been suspended or revoked. And this is simple, and the board just says, well, we agree, that's enough for bad moral character. So what's the problem with that?
I think there's two problems, Your Honor. First of all, the history, I think, is made out to appear a lot worse than it is. As I said, there's two DUIs, and then there was a 10-year gap in time. I understand there were also traffic violations. That's typical. That's par for the course in these sorts of...
But they're all piled on in the same arrest, aren't they? You were arrested
exactly.
for DUI, and you don't have a proper license, and your registration's
exactly.
expired, and a bunch of other things.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And these things existed at the time that the immigration judge made the first determination that there was good cause for continuance, and that he just sought for Mr.
Forget
Ortiz.
Forget the continuance for a moment. I don't understand. What's the... The continuance would have... Allowed him to show what?
It would have allowed for the final disposition on the pending DUI charge to determine whether or not he would serve time as to whether or not he would qualify then for cancellation of removal. And it would affect
his
overall.
Wait, I don't understand. He was convicted of this, the most recent DUI, right?
He was, but not at that time he was not. And he was convicted.
But the point is the ultimate outcome wasn't going to help him that
right.
much. If he had been acquitted, that would be one thing, and maybe the judge... or the board jumped too quickly to a conclusion. But since he pleads guilty, even though there isn't any, you know, jail time, it's still a guilty adjudication.
Your Honor, I see I'm out of time, but I'll answer your question if I...
I'll give you a minute for rebuttal when...
Sure. So it's true that he is still guilty, but as I said, you know, there was no jail time served.
So what?
So we think that...
What's the significance? So you just... Forget about driving under the influence.
No
jail time, just a drunk driver. We have loads of drunk drivers. They kill people occasionally, but not too often. So I
understand your point, Your Honor. However, it would weigh into the fact that his good moral character, you know, he's been through rehabilitation and treatment, so we wouldn't be able to present a full picture of that. And again, we go back to the point that if the judge had said that on the first master calendar hearing, that would be okay. But our client was really denied a fair opportunity when the judge told him to just keep checking and pending the outcome, and then all of a sudden changed his mind.
Doesn't Illinois have a mandatory jail time for a successive drunk driving conviction? Or is there a time limit on that?
I'm not certain about that, Your Honor.
Almost every state does. And this would be his third or fourth?
This would be his third.
His
but it was
third?
After, as I said, the first two were quite some time ago.
Well, I thought the first two were within the last ten years before the removal decision.
I believe it had been about 10 years between number two and this current one, which was number three.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so maybe they cut it off after 10 years?
Perhaps. I don't practice criminal law, and I didn't handle the criminal case, so I'm not certain
okay.
about that. I'm happy to find out if you would like.
All right.
Thank you.
As I said, I'll give you a minute when
sure,
the time
thank
comes.
You.
Ms. Perry.
May it please the Court, Roseanne Perry on behalf of the Attorney General. There are three issues before the Court today. Whether the Court lacks jurisdiction to review the agency's denial of the petitioner's application for cancellation of removal and the motion to continue.
So and what I want you to talk about for a minute, though, is this procedural shift because the immigration judge's decision to reach the merits of the cancellation point instead of just consider whether another continuance was necessary does come without any warning. And it turns out, as we now know, that there was additional evidence that Mr. Ortiz Estrada would have introduced on the good moral character question. Obviously, you've got the bad evidence right there, the DUIs. But there's positive evidence, too. There are these letters from his daughters and letters from, I think, a letter from the employer. And... You know, you almost get the impression the immigration judge thought he didn't have any discretion anymore, that he was just supposed to go straight to the merits. And that would be a legal error. So that is the primary thing that troubles me about this case. Certainly once you get to the point of deciding yes or no good moral character, that's unreviewable discretion. But is it your position the board can just decide on the basis of whatever evidence it decides to look at, refuse to let people put evidence in the record about the issue?
I believe that there is evidence that the judge considered his previously before that making the final decision.
But he tells the guy, he shows up thinking I'm here for one more continuance, and he says, no, we're going to do the whole thing today. I'm tired of continuances. You know, let's just go for it. And that means that the at that point, the respondent, you know, Mr. Ortiz Estrada, hasn't come to the hearing with the letters from family members or the employer or the church or whatever kind of evidence people like to put together to present their side of the story on good moral character. And I'm concerned with this. Instead of just saying we're not going to do any more continuances, come back next week, you know, anything to give somebody notice that we're now at the merits stage.
Well, the petitioner was in proceedings since...
Was he told he would get a continuance and then the immigration judge changed his mind?
No, at the time of his last hearing?
Yes.
Was he told? No, he did not say that he would get a continuance.
I thought he was told, though, that I want you to report back so that we can decide, you know, on continuances. That's what he says. He says, I'll find it in a minute, but basically... He appears for the master calendar hearings on April 19, 2011, May 17, June 30, October 18, October 31st, December 9th. And all of a sudden, you know, he shows up for a hearing on February 17, 2012, thinking that it's just another one of these routine things. He's had so many of them. He doesn't know that this is the moment. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem if he had showed up for that last hearing and the immigration judge had said, I'm not giving any more continuances, come back next week and we're going to have, or come back tomorrow and we're going to have your merits hearing. Tomorrow might be a little speedy, but the point being, I'm not concerned about whether there's a right to a continuance. I am concerned about adequate notice that this is your merits hearing.
I don't believe that you just said that you don't care about the rule. I believe that over time he had sufficient time to submit the affidavits that he needed to support his case, but he didn't. I mean, he was in proceedings since, let's see, August 2nd of 2010.
No, I totally understand that, but if he was told... come back and we'll decide whether we're going to do continuances, and then something else happens. That's the thing that troubles me. You know, sort of, what did the immigration judge tell him the purpose of that February 17 hearing was? What's in the record to say what did the immigration judge say that hearing was for?
He's basically been, it's on page 136 of the record, that he would give, I represent the respondent along with counsel, that I'm going to have him come back every time to make sure that this doesn't slip through.
Right, so he comes back on all these different dates. They're mentioned on page 10 of the petitioner's brief. All these dates, on each date, Judge Cuevas grants a continuance, and then he shows up on February 17th, and he denies the continuance, says that the denial is based solely on two recent cases from the Seventh Circuit, and Judge Cuevas cites, and Judge Cuevas says, so we're moving to the merits. And I just, the circumstances make me think he didn't know this was the day for the merits.
Well, what it comes down to is that this is a decision to either... grant cancellation of removal, and he doesn't have a discretionary, it's in the court's discretion to grant cancellation of removal. So
that discretion means, I just want to explore the implications of your position, that you can say to a petitioner, we're going to decide whether you have good moral character without giving you any opportunity to put any evidence in the record that would tend to make us think that you do. So that's your position.
No, Your Honor, he had about a year and a half to provide evidence to show that he had good moral character, and he didn't.
Well,
I mean,
you can look at the maybe you can look at the record that way. You just read me a sentence that says that the immigration judge says, I don't want this to fall through the cracks. These are just status checks that we're having on May 17, June 30, October 18, October 31, December 9, and he thinks it's another status check on the 17th. And I want to know who told him it wasn't.
That it wasn't just a status check.
Yeah.
Well, according to the record, in the real world of litigation,
people do rely on these things.
Right. There is no evidence of that he was, told that
he
it was going to be a merits hearing. Right. But the immigration judge had enough evidence. He had already told him, based on his criminal history.
Was there a schedule by which the immigration judge said, have in all your evidence on your side of this issue by X date?
I don't believe so, based on the record.
Nobody told him that either.
No. But when he submitted his application for cancellation, he had the opportunity to provide affidavits, provide other evidence to show his good moral character.
Sure, but
and
that's
he didn't.
That's done with the application, but oftentimes, in fact, usually there's a hearing, and it's supplemented in the hearing. That's why we have hearings.
Right. And then, after he filed an appeal with the board, and he did submit evidence, but the board found it wasn't sufficient. So the government doesn't believe
this,
that.
If a continuance had been granted, was there any evidence he actually wanted to submit except the outcome of his DUI case?
I don't believe so, not according
to
that.
Well, he did submit the two affidavits from the daughters, the affidavit from the employer. He submits evidence of his moral character.
But he didn't indicate that during the hearing, that he would be submitting affidavits.
Because the hearing happened before he had a chance to think about it.
Before he had a chance to submit the affidavits? From his family?
You're saying he had the chance from the day he applied for cancellation.
Yes.
And I'm saying that when a litigant is told, come in for a status hearing, even downstairs in the district court, if somebody is told, come in for a status hearing, and the judge says, oh, actually, I've changed my mind, I've summoned a jury, we're going to have the case today, people would be in shock. That's not the way litigation happens.
My question is different. I'm just interested in what is it that he wants to present if he gets another hearing? Is it just the DUI? The fact he wasn't jailed for this latest DUI offense? Or is there something else?
That's what I understand it to be, that he wants to show. That's what I understand it to be, that he wants to submit the disposition. Right. And it really.
And that's because the board had these letters, you're saying. You're saying that the board had these letters from the mother of his son and from Rimka Incorporated and from Jacqueline and from Jeremy.
There was no indication at the other hearings that he wanted to submit those affidavits. He said that he wanted to provide the disposition of his last criminal charge. But based on the IJ's decision and the board's decision, it wouldn't have mattered, the criminal disposition, because they already determined based on his previous criminal history that he was, not going to be qualified for cancellation of removal. So I don't see how it would have made a difference whether the case had been continued for the purpose of submitting his disposition.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, the government asks that the court dismiss this petition for lack of jurisdiction in part and to deny due process claim for lack of merit.
Okay, thank you very much. And I said I would give you one more minute, Ms. Bennett.
Maybe I missed it, but did your briefs actually say that there was anything more for a hearing that you wanted to present except the outcome of his DUI case?
Your Honor, I can't point to it specifically, but I believe that we did indicate that, and as the government knows, we submitted a very thick...
I mean, as in your reply brief, you end up by, again, just mentioning the DUI.
Sure, Your Honor. We have substantial evidence that we would provide.
But do you argue to us that what you were prevented from presenting at this hearing that didn't take place was anything except the outcome of the DUI?
I don't know that I specifically listed in our brief what we would have provided, but that was the whole crux of it, is that we never got to the point of being able to
prove
moral
character.
But if
the only thing you planned to provide was this, the fact that he wasn't sent to jail, that's not going to do anything.
That alone would not have been
enough. Why do you keep stressing that? You know, I don't think you mention other stuff.
I think it's implicit that obviously if we had a chance for a full and fair hearing that we would come prepared with additional evidence such as proof of his rehabilitation, his treatment, his substantial involvement in the community, in the church, in his kids' soccer leagues, and so forth. And, Your Honors, I would also just
But now you presented some materials with the application.
We did, Your Honor, and I was actually going to...
Why wouldn't you have supplemented those materials?
I was actually going to bring that point on rebuttal. The government argues that he had been in proceedings since August of 2010, and I would just like to note, it's noteworthy that we only actually requested one continuance, and it's normal and typical, it's well known in immigration court that at the time of a master calendar, you submit often submit just a skeletal application to fulfill the procedural timeline requirements. And then at the time of your individual hearing, you come 15 days prior, you file with the court all of your additional supplemental evidence. And so we were denied a chance to be able to prepare and do that in Mr. Ortiz's case.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you.